There was a person who said to another person, if I ever sell my field, I'm going to sell it to you. And they made a kinyan to that effect. The person then went and sold his field to a third person. Rabbi Yosef said that no, the first person who said who he was supposed to be kinyan, he's the one who's actually kinyan the field. Abaye asked, when the original kinyan was made, there was no price set at the time. And our Mishnah said, if a yid sells wine to a guy, if he set the price before the guy measured the wine, the money paid for the wine is mutter. If the guy measured the wine before the yid set the price, the money is also to benefit from. We see that a kinyan without a price being set is not effective. What's a psak in this case? The Mari asked, what do you mean? What's a psak? We brought a proof from our Mishnah that the kinyan is not effective. And the Mari said that our Mishnah is not a proof because it may be that Yai Nesach were more chumradik, and that's why the kinyan is not effective over there. The Mari says, we can answer from Rabbi Bar Oven, who said that a case involving a kinyan made before the price was set was brought to the yeshiva of Rav Chista, who then brought the case to the yeshiva of Rav Huna, who answered from a Brisa. The Brisa says, if a buyer pulled the seller's donkey drivers or workers into his own rishus, then whether the price was set but the produce was not yet measured, or whether the produce was measured but the price was not yet set, both parties can still back out of the deal. If the produce was unloaded from the seller's animals or workers onto the floor of the buyer's rishus, then, although presumably it's still in the seller's bags, if the price was set, then even if the produce was not yet measured, neither party can back out of the deal. If the produce was measured but the price wasn't set, both parties can still back out of the deal. We clearly see that a kinyan without price without price being set is not effective. Marcel says, there was a person who said to another person, if I ever sell my field, I'm going to sell it to you for 100 zuz. And they made a kinyan to that effect. The person then went and sold his field to someone else for 120 zuz. Rav Kahana said, the first person is kind of the field. Rav Yaakov of the Hakpokoitz asked, it's not like this person made a willing sale. It's like he had an excessive price thrown at him, the extra 20 zuz. That's what kind of was like ma'anas him. It forced him to sell. The Gemara paskens taka like Rabbi Yaakov of Nahar Pekoid. The Gemara says, if instead of setting a price, the seller said, the price will be set as will be appraised by three, then even if only two of the three agree to a price, that's the price. If the seller said, as will be said by three, then all three have to agree to a price in order for it to be considered set. If the seller said, the price will be set as it is appraised by four, all four have to agree in order for it to be set. Certainly, all four must agree when the seller said, as will be said by four. Mara says, if the seller said the price will be set as it will be appraised by three, and three people came and appraised it, and the other party says that another three people who know prices better should come and appraise it, Rav Papa says the deal may be held back until the other three appraisers do their appraisal. But Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, he disagreed. He said, no, who says that the second set of three appraisers will know any better than the first? Therefore, the first appraisal is enough to make the deal happen. Mara Paskins, like Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. Zok, the next mission, if after measuring the wine, the yid poured the wine through a funnel into the guy's keli, and he then used that funnel to pour wine into a yid's keli, if the funnel had a lip that retained some wine from the previous use, the wine poured into the yid's keli is aser. If wine is poured from one keli to another keli, the wine in the keli from which it's poured is mutter. The wine in the keli into which it's being poured is aser. Zok, the Mishnah says, a stream of liquid, a flow running down a steep slope, or a liquid that is wet enough to make something else, to make something moist, but not wet enough to make something moist enough to make a third thing moist, all do not act as connections for Tumah Tara. Stagnant liquid is considered to be a connection for Tumah Tara. Rav Huna said, a stream of liquid, a flow running down a steep slope, and liquid that is wet enough to make something moist, but not wet enough to make something moist, which then can make a third thing moist, all do act as connections when it comes to the Yayin Nesach. Rav Nachum said to Rav Huna, how do you know this? You can't say it's from the above Mishnah, which says that they're connections to Tumah Tahara. So you're going to say, oh, for Tumah Tahara, they're not connections, but for Yayin Nesach, yes. Because then when the Mishnah says that stagnant liquid is connection for Tumah Tahara, you're going to have to also say that it's a connection for Tumah Tahara, but not for Yayin Nesach. Rather, that Mishnah can't be used as a source. So what's the source? Rav says, maybe the source is from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if after measuring the wine, the Yid poured the wine through a funnel into the guy's keli, and then he used that funnel to pour wine into a Yid's keli, if the funnel had a lip that and retained some of the wine from the previous use, the wine poured into the Yid's keli is usher. Now, how did the wine on the lip become usher? It must be because of the stream of wine that connected the wine in the funnel to the wine in the guy's keli. We see that a stream acts as a connection for Yayin Nesach, and the Gemara Chiyah taught a Brisa that the Mishnah is talking about where the level of the wine in the guy's keli rose to the point that it touched the funnel. That's why the wine on the lip became usher. In fact, so if the wine would not have touched the funnel, the wine on the lip would not be usher. If so, we have a good proof that the stream does not make a connection. And for the Gemara, maybe that when the wine rises and touches the funnel, we can answer from the Brisa that the wine on the lip would be usher. It's when there's a stream that we cannot answer from the Brisa, and that will remain a question. Fekmar, maybe the source can be from our Mishnah. Mishnah said, if wine is poured from one keli to another keli, the wine in the keli from which it's being poured is mutter. This suggests that the wine in the ear between the two keli would be usher. We see that a stream makes a connection. If a stream makes a connection, even the wine in the upper keli should be usher as well. The Mar says, no, that's not a question, because it may be that he poured it in like small spurts. So that's why it was never a straight stream connecting the top keli to the bottom keli. another Taz Gemara says it could, that this part of the Mishnah can't be used as a source, because the next part of the Mishnah says that the wine in the keli into which it's being poured is aser. This suggests that the wine in the lower keli is aser, but the wine between the two kelim is mutter. Rather, we have to say we can't bring a proof from this Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara Braisa says if a person pours wine from a barrel into a bar, the flow of the wine from the edge of the barrel and downward is aser. We see that a stream is considered a connection. Rav Sheish explained the Braisa is talking about the guy poured the wine, and the reason the wine that leaves the barrel is also because it's being poured through the force of a guy. If so, if that's the case, that the guy poured the wine, then even if the wine in the barrel should be also as well, since it was moved by the force of the guy. And for the Gemara, wine moved through the force of a guy is only also the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon only guys are with respect to wine that was forced out of the barrel, not wine that remained in the barrel. Zaknimar, Rav Chisda told the Jewish wine sellers, when you pour wine into the kelim of goyim, either pour in short spurts or throw it from far so that there should not be a connecting stream between the two kelim. Rava told the Jewish people who would pour wine to make sure not to allow the goy to help with the pouring, because if the yid would get tired and the goy is the force behind the barrel, the wine would be poured through the force of the goy and that would become usur. The Mar says, a person who had a tube go from a full barrel to an empty one, and then he sucked at the end of the tube, causing the wine in the full barrel to transfer to the empty one. A guy came and put his hand at the end of the tube, touching the wine there. Rava said, all the wine's also, Rapapa or others asked Rava, it's also because it's a flow and is it also because it's a flow and acts as a connection? Rava said, no, this case is different, because the wine flows through the tube on its own and therefore viewed as an extension of the barrel. The Mar said, Marzutta, the son of Rav Nachman, said it's mutter for a yid and a guy to both drink at the same time from a keli that has a number of tubes coming out of it, allowing multiple people to drink from the same keli. However, it's only mutter if the yid stops drinking before the guy, because only then can we be sure that the wine that touched the guy's lips doesn't go back into the wine and the yid is still, while the yid is still drinking. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna allowed for the Reish Galusa to drink from this type of keli. Others say it was actually Rabbi Bar Rav Huna himself drank from such a keli.